I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This ain't over. Come on, let's go. It's frustrating. It's maybe the most frustrating game I've ever seen in my life. Postseason game. It's maybe the most... Because there's something you're playing for. The Browns, at some point, it just washes over you. That's one thing. This might be the most frustrating I've ever seen. Because, like, when the Cavs... Work with me on this, please. Let me go through my emotions here. When the Cavs would, like, fall apart in the finals, that was... Hey, I could say, like, that's injuries. That's injuries. Like, Kyrie got hurt, broke his kneecap... Kevin Love got hurt before. It's like, all right, that washes over you. Then you had the championship in 16. So it kind of let everything else not be as frustrating because you won the championship. Like, it was frustrating what J.R. Smith did, but it wasn't anywhere near here. You got bases loaded. People have made Garrett Cole out to be the greatest pitcher of all time. And trust me, Garrett Cole's a great pitcher. Everybody knows that. You got bases loaded twice.
He wasn't very good yesterday.
And he wasn't very good yesterday. He got six hits off him in four innings. It wasn't like you didn't bat him around. How many times did he walk you? How many times did he walk you in this? Let me get my notes
up. He was so erratic.
He gave you
so many opportunities.
Four. He walked you four times. So you had chances in this game. That's what's frustrating. I wanted to get mad. See, I was ready to let my emotions change and just blame it on Vogt for bringing in Cade Smith too early and say, well, you know, it's just the moment's too bright for Steven Vogt, and this is maybe where you miss Tito.
I didn't have a big problem with it.
I couldn't have a big problem with it because it ended up being a pretty decent move.
No, I sat there as it was going down, and I'm like, I know he'll get killed for this if Cade Smith gives up a grand slam, obviously, as every manager would in that situation. But I'm like, I get it. I mean, they have a really good approach against Bybee. They are... it's nothing overwhelming, but it's like death by a thousand cuts, and they're kind of hitting these balls hard, even though they're just singles, and they only end up really getting any damage done, again, because we're out there misplaying balls. It was immediate, reminding me of what happened in the opener with that Little League stuff. Mm-hmm. That sucked.
It's like the Yankees, literally by John Sterling, said that they were running the base like a bunch of drunks. We'll have that later. Because we got to get to more important clips now. Like, the Yankees were terrible. They had mental errors. They had stupid errors. I actually felt bad for Brian Rocchio because he's had a tremendous postseason, and he had one of the boots of all boots with the infield fly that he ended up booting. I actually felt bad for him considering what he's done. You have the Naylors. Josh Naylor got a couple of hits yesterday, which, man, everybody and their brothers tweeting at me about his weight. Okay, fine. You want to call him Tubby? Call him Tubby. I don't care. I got more important things I got to deal with. I don't want to sit there and fat shame Josh Naylor. I got a problem that his brother's just a total hole in the middle, not in the middle of the order, towards the end of the order. And then the other guy I have him there as a leader. But basically, I mean, he's a manager in making, and Steven Vogt has just as good of a chance to get a hit as Austin Hedges does right now as a current manager in Major League Baseball. That part sucks with it. But yeah, I was ready and raring to go to blame Vogt yesterday. And you're 100% right. It ended up being a pretty decent move.
I know Bybee, and I can't blame him. The body language, I would have been furious. You know, he was so pumped up for that
game.
He was
angry.
And the game's competitive. It's not like the Yankees just absolutely drilled you. But and he didn't get the help in the field. Again, that was a killer too, because there's no reason that first run should ever come across. So Bybee's probably thinking of it like, come on, I'm responsible for two of these runs. Let me get out of this. But you can't. You don't have the luxury of waiting when you're down a game and you're already trailing, and the biggest weapon you have in the series you can't deploy because you're losing.
And you don't have any depth in the starting rotation. So it makes sense that if you recognize early that he may not have something there to get him out and see if he has something later. Because you're playing to get back into the series in some way. Now, I know that some people are thinking it's just going to be a sweep. Fine. 216-474-0092. I didn't think that you were just a juggernauted team out of this series because you were playing against the Yankees. I didn't think that. You got guys on. You couldn't bring them home. It's the same old when it comes to this offense. It becomes anemic as the postseasons wind on. Anyway, Stephen Vogt was asked about it yesterday, his decision to take Tanner Bibee out in the second. He said he wanted to make sure he stopped any bleeding that might start.
I wanted to stop the game, and Cade's done a great job of that all year, and he did it again in a big situation. And Tanner's our guy, and he was a little bit off, and we saw that from the first inning. And I felt like we needed to stop it, and we did. Kept him down for a while, and we were right there. We had our opportunities, and we just weren't able to come through with a big hit.
Anything on that real quick before I get to the other clip?
Yeah, you know, that's the hard part because he ends up talking about the offense, and we'll go over, what are they in the series? 1 of 11 runners in scoring position. They just can't figure out a way. They had Gerrit Cole. They had the opportunities against him. It wasn't like one of those games where it's like, well, this wasn't even close. Like, no. And the thing is, I keep coming back to, the Yankees are not that impressive right now. They have not been that impressive. They have not been all that much more impressive than the Guardians so far this year. They really haven't been. Yeah. If you watch these teams all season, the problems you had in the second half of the year, they had in the second half of the year. And in this series, it's not like they have overwhelmed us. It's not like they have just clearly been the better team top to bottom. You're going to hear that stuff in New York today. I don't think that's been the case at all.
Well, they are the better team. They're not playing like the better team. You had opportunities to take advantage of in this game, and you notice as the game went on, later on in this game, when it became 3-1, then it became 3-2, like there were chances where you saw like the stadium start to get quiet. You felt the stadium start to get like, are we going to hold on to this? Are we going to be able to hold on? And even at 4-2, you were still kind of starting to threaten, and Aaron Judge hit a two-run home run, and that was it. At least Jose Ramirez hit a home run later on in the game. That boosted that. I don't have to sit there and yell at Jose Ramirez. Excuse me. I don't have to hear anybody yell at Jose Ramirez because I'm sure as hell not going to do it. But you had your chances to get back into this thing. You weren't able to do it at the plate. Now, I can get mad at Stephen Vogt because he's the manager. You guys got to hit. You got to be able to get guys on, get guys through when you get guys on base. Vogt did go a little bit further about Tanner Bibee and the possibilities for him later in the series.
We have a lot of things to talk about, regrouping, getting back home. It's definitely an option that we're going to talk through, see how Tanner's feeling. I know Tanner didn't throw the ball away. He wanted to, but by getting him out of there early, maybe we got an opportunity to bring him back quicker.
Could you use him in a Friday?
Yeah.
Like if you win Thursday,
yeah, you
can you use him Friday?
I 100% think you would.
How many pitches did he actually throw? It cost him seven 39? Pitches. 39. It cost him seven pitches after that. After that bobble, he threw 39 pitches yesterday. 25 were strikes. I mean, he wasn't very good. He wasn't very good. And there's a difference. Gerrit Cole is a crafty veteran. Gerrit Cole is a great pitcher. Gerrit Cole labored through. He got you to four innings, four and a third innings, and the Guardians took care of their own business.
Well, that's
because he loaded him up and you couldn't bring him through.
That's the other thing. You were hoping the bullpen would be your edge in this series. It's not that the Yankees have a bad bullpen, but you know your bullpen is what clearly has helped you and carried you and been a big fortifying thing for your pitching this year. And you know, unfortunately, their bullpen has been better so far in this series. And so you know, whether the series is over, like I quite honestly, do I see us winning 4 or 5? Thank God we're coming home, and I'm hoping things change. Things can change big time in baseball, but this just stinks because what went on with the fielding stuff in game one, then to have it pop up again, to let them steal a stupid run in game two, which I do think changes things. I think that pressure, that stuff that can build, like the Yankees, as much as we always talk about pressure about teams that go into New York, their fans and the way that stadium sounds, it can impact them as well. And we haven't allowed that to really fester. You had those opportunities. You really did. You had, in the third, you had two on and two out for Jose Ramirez. He didn't come through. Unfortunately, and again, Hedges ends up coming up, but you had him loaded up. You had him loaded up multiple times, and you had, you know, less than two outs in those situations, and you just couldn't get the runs across, which it totally sucks because imagine if they erupted in that inning. How that game goes down yesterday. It's a totally different game.
Do you feel that the lights were too bright for them? Because if you do, that's one of the problems I see.
I thought in game one yesterday, I didn't think that was as big of a deal.
I hate that. I hate it. And that becomes, like,
because I'm seeing, like,
just
guys like Rocchio, he's had good at-bats.
Uh-huh.
You know, even Naylor did you know, hit the ball hard a few times yesterday and got through again.
But if you feel that way, like, that's part of the problems with baseball that you don't get with the other two sports. Is because anytime you lose, it's not just a loss. People start to get sad about the entirety of the sport. Where, I mean, look at who you're playing against. Yeah, they, because of what they spend, they should be able to beat you. I mean, let's call facts facts. But it's also like, wow, God, you're playing against the Yankees, and you're at Yankee Stadium. Well, it's not the original Yankee Stadium. It's actually not the original Yankee Stadium. But they're playing against the Yankees. Like, they don't do, like, if you go to Cowboy Stadium or AT&T Stadium, they don't sit there. Does anybody stand there, unless you were from there and grew up a diehard Cowboy fan? Do they stand there and walk around and go, I'm playing at AT&T Stadium? I think it's just another stadium. No, I think it's not, just another. And in the NBA, like, you can't even say the Garden anymore because it's not the Garden. So you're just playing at TD Waterhouse or whatever the hell it is.
Well, I think that the stadium, it just is representative of any game in the postseason against the Yankees. Everybody's going to be watching.
Exactly. And that's
so
what
that's
I hate.
That's the pressure part of it. But I don't think.
I couldn't get him home soon enough, is what I'm trying to spout out here.
I don't think that was as big of a deal yesterday. I thought in the opener that the moment was too big for them.
Yes.
I thought they were settling in. Like I said, watching Rocchio, I was disheartened, I think, most of all, out of his at-bat, because he was battling. He was going toe-to-toe with Cole. He was fouling him off. That was a nice, long at-bat. He's seeing a ton of pitches. And in the end, he couldn't come through. And I was like, man, this was so tailor-made for him to take advantage of that opportunity.
216-474-0092. Let me get to the phones here. Do you feel the series is over?
It's close.
Oh, come on.
I mean, they
come on.
It's tough based on now. What I love about baseball is
come
that everything can change.
Come over the aisle with me. Come
but
on.
If
Hold
it looks
hand.
Anything like this, it's hard to see this team winning 4 or 5.
You know, if this team doesn't win this series, you know what we have to focus on, right?
What's that?
Well,
Evan Mobley
know?
Making the leap?
Great point. Yes, Evan Mobley making the, like, why the regular
season? I mean,
it started
like a week and a half.
Why the regular? Yeah, coming up next. No, 1 week next
one
Wednesday,
week?
The 23rd,
Holy
right?
Cow.
23rd next Wednesday, Toronto. Okay, got that.
Win. I got it as a win.
Why the regular season matters for the Cavs coming up hopefully later, because we're going to win another game in this series. 216-474-0092. Phil and Rittman, home of the Indians, if I'm not mistaken. Phil, go ahead.
How you guys doing? I just wanted to say, I feel like the club has lost their identity. I think Vogt has lost his mind bringing in Fry in the fourth inning with one out. I mean, you got guys on, what was it, second and third, or maybe they were loaded, and you don't manage to get a run in. Like, the identity of this ball club used to be good base running, you know.
Wait, you would have felt better with Bo Naylor in that situation?
I wouldn't have.
I mean, you could have put him up there and had him bunt a run in or something. I mean, just going to Fry so early when you know Fry can't catch, so you're doomed with Austin Hedges for the rest of the game.
Phil,
Who would you rather have, Bo or Austin Hedges?
I'll tell you what I would have felt better with. I would have felt better with Bo Naylor with no bat in his hand standing up there in the box.
Yeah, I have no confidence in Bo Naylor over anybody.
Phil, like, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. The problem is that David Fry swung at the first pitch that he saw, and technically it would have been a high strike. But I'm like, man, you're in that moment. You're against this team. You can't get him to select at any point. When it feels like you're going to have Gerrit Cole as close to on the ropes as you're going to have him,
he's
a professional. He's a great hitter, but that was not a professional at bat.
We were getting to Cole. The Guardians are beating themselves in this series. They should have won game one. Cantillo and Naylor literally threw it away. And now you have Rocchio putting us behind early.
But Phil,
against somebody like Cole.
But that's why I agree with the decision to go to David Fry. You're not going to get any offense out of that. So, I mean, having Austin Hedges, I would have rather had Austin Hedges back there to call the game on defense and dealt with it, because an out is an out is an out, and Bo Naylor was going to be an out.
But we have nobody to pinch hit for Hedges once he enters the lineup. So I just think it's foolish to bring in Fry so early when you never know what the rest of the game's going to be like.
Phil, I disagree, but I thank you very much for the call.
He's right about the fact that it stinks when you come into a huge playoff series and we're sitting here with platoon at catcher. Like, it's unfortunate. And the David Fry thing.
If Fry could catch, the arms
messed up. It would have made things so much easier. It would have changed. I don't know the whole complexion of the series, but it would have helped. Well, it would have helped tremendously.
The elbow's messed up. And if the elbow weren't messed up, I mean, they don't talk much about it because they never talk much about anything over there when it comes to an injury. For all we know, I mean, who knows what's actually injured there, which sucks because you think this offseason is going to cost him some more time. And then if it does, it goes into next year. If Fry could catch, it would solve all these things. But Fry can't catch. Physically can't do it. So who am I going to put there behind the plate? Bo Naylor's not anyway. He's up there guessing. Austin Hedges at least tries, in some way tries to work the count. But, I mean, that's nothing. There you go. I mean, when Austin Hedges comes up with bases loaded a couple innings later, no one had faith there. They were hoping he'd do it by accident.
And you were hoping it'd be some stupid, incredible act of just a storybook situation in Yankee Stadium from somebody who you never would anticipate getting anything done there.
Because you're batting with 8 guys in a 9-guy lineup there.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
11 left on base. Kenny, 11 left on base yesterday for the Guardians as they lose 6-3.
Outstanding.
Again, not coming through with runners in scoring position. And so had your opportunities, even the fact that you find yourself down. You spotted them that one early. Next thing you know, you're down 3. But man, that place, the air was about to really, it was a different game. It was a different game. Cole was really, really scuffling. Could not find his strike zone. You want to talk about bad body language, and we are experts right here in Northeast Ohio looking at bad body language right now.
He had bad body language.
Cole?
I didn't notice.
Oh, he was flailing away. And the Guardians had such a great approach for so many of those at-bats, and they couldn't get to him. And you're right about that Fry pop-up on the first pitch. That was so disappointing. I thought for sure. That was one of those situations. We always ask ourselves, did you really think Austin Hedges was going to come through? No. Nobody did. But Fry, I did. I had convinced myself that he was going to come through.
Did you
in a big
watch
way.
Him after they showed him go back and sit on the bench, and he just had the 1,000-yard stare of...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't believe I went out there and did that.
Yeah.
He made up his mind, right?
Yeah.
He made up his mind, thought he was going to get a grooved one right over the plate.
That's a guy that saved your series against the Tigers, right?
And it's one of the guys you trusted.
And went, I'm going to go change this thing, and didn't get it in the right spot on the barrel, and it ended before it started for David Fry in game 2.
Yes, that made things so much easier. And the really hard thing about it was, you know, you're expecting a pitch right down the middle. Cole could not find it. He could not find it. Wasn't like those were quasi-intentional walks. He was all over the place.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter who was up. He was not finding the strike zone. And so that was the problem in that place. And that is the beauty and the curse of baseball is rock, scissors, paper. He's expecting this. He's getting something else. And he skies it. And it was so deflating because I thought he was going to come through.
Just helping him every chance they got. They helped him out of his own jams.
So
made it difficult.
Tanner Bibee, in what was obviously going to be a big start, ends up getting pulled after 39 pitches, gives up 5 hits. The 2 earned runs should have just been 2. So it wasn't like he was a total disaster, But it wasn't great.
He's on his way.
It seemed like it could be a blow-up inning. I did not have a problem with him getting taken out. But here is the scenario. First of all, on vote deciding that he was going to take him out and then walk things for the bases loaded.
My job is to get the guy out. I don't really care who it is. And at that point, I mean, whether it's a smart move or not, that's not my job.
His body language said it all, too.
He saved him four pitches.
Yeah.
He just put him on.
Yeah, that's true.
Could have been 43.
Hold on. Let's go to Mark in Northridgeville. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
A couple things from last night. I'm tired of hearing how Bybee wants to be our number one. Last night, you know, his body language coming off the mound when he was yanked. He got out of that first inning, one run. But the second inning, you know, the double of Verdugo, you know, he was in trouble again. And like those announcers said last night, where have you ever seen somebody potentially walk Soto to get to Aaron Judge? And, you know, the bullpen came in and did what they did and shut him down. But, I mean, we need more out of our starting pitching. Cobb game one, now Bybee game two. I mean, when you start off in a hole on the road, I mean, it just amplifies the nerves and everything else. And like you guys said, David Fry, there was five straight balls. You have to take that. And then that pitch to Rocchio, high and outside. Derek Cole was on the ropes. And, I mean, bases were loaded there. I
thought the reason I was kind of giving Rocchio a pass is he's been one of the guys that's had a great approach at the plate. And, man, he made him work. I thought for sure he was going to come through.
Nine pitch at bat.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but what I'm saying is, I mean, that was a ball. I mean, that pitch was not even close. Not even close. But, I mean, that's what you get when you're in New York.
All right, thank
you.
I can't fight for Mark for being frustrated. He's not wrong. It was a great at-bat. It just didn't go our way.
No offense to you guys, but nothing that's happened in the first 30 minutes of this show has made me feel any better about what happened last night.
Well, I don't take offense.
It's just,
I want to feel better about it. I don't take offense to it. It sucks. This sucks.
I've had hangover shows that felt way better than this show feels right now.
Oh, my God. Jonah came downstairs and was like, do you want a beer? He's 5 years old, which is probably not very good. I'm like,
something.
Well, hey, man, the world needs plenty of bartenders, and they can all be my sons. And I kind of wanted to, when they started pulling Tanner Bobby, I go, might be one of them hangover shows for me. Maybe I'll turn it into one of them hangover shows. Didn't do it. Wanted to.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't that for me last night, but that's what it feels worse than that this morning. The pit in my stomach right now.
Well, we all knew the deal. The deal was you had to get one. To have us completely do a pep rally, to feel really good about things, they had to steal one of these games. And the first game,
Yankees tried to let them.
That's the thing.
With the bases loaded.
Let it out.
Guys,
let
no
it
then,
feels better.
Second and third. Yeah, it doesn't feel better.
No, I mean, it feels better when you let it out.
It pisses me off.
It does, but it feels better when you let it out. Don't hold that in. Don't hold it in. Let it out, man.
The part that's frustrating for me.
11 freaking runners left on base.
11 of them. A lot.
They just don't. It's not like the Yankees have impressed anybody. That's the thing. The unearned runs in this series, those were gifts. Gifts from the gods. What's this potent Yankee offense? We knew they were a top-heavy offense. We knew. They beat Kansas City in the first round. I was worried a little bit about what it was going to be like when our young guys were going up against Gerrit Cole. And then Gerrit Cole was struggling. It's not like they've had some great formula to beat us.
Eli Morgan got him out 1-2-3 in the heart of that order in the fifth. Should he come back out in the sixth?
I do not have as much.
Gave up another run in the sixth.
Yeah, I know. Eli has been one that, I do not have as much trust in Eli Morgan as other people
do. He's been better this postseason, though.
He has been. I just felt that the meat and potatoes of that game was it kind of felt like decided before that. I know. And then Judge adds to the home run thing. Just, we had a big discussion. Owen was going to disagree with me. I said I didn't. I've hated so many Yankee players in my lifetime. So many hateable guys. The only reason I hate Judge is how he's covered. I don't hate him. I don't put him in that same category of all those guys that I despise. Jorge Posada,
he hasn't
Bernie
done
Williams
anything. You're right. He hasn't done anything to just come out and. But I don't know. He is Bernie Williams to me. Bernie was not a guy that was out there, you know, crotch chopping and things like that. Like,
yeah, I always kind of like Bernie Williams.
I mean, they're the same type of guy to me. Although Aaron Judge, you know, obviously bops a little more, but
like, no, it will never replace. I will always hate Derek Jeter, mostly because of the way he's covered.
Yeah,
Alex Rodriguez is close. But I mean, Aaron Judge, I don't know. Aaron Judge might be a problem that's indicative of the sport that I really don't want to get into right now, but that's another conversation.
Because he's one of their only stars, like true stars that actually cuts through, he pierces through everything else.
No, you said it, not me.
They don't really have many in that sport anymore.
But it felt like even his homer, you started the show Tuesday with, it was a little league, in a little league stadium, it's a little league team playing little league ball.
That's what it
felt like yesterday, too.
If he wore
the
any
little league game that I watched from Rocchio's error all the way through, even Judge's home run, it felt like a little league game again.
It said 414 feet is what it was measured.
It wasn't.
I feel like they gave
maybe
him 314
feet. I've seen baseballs fly out of parks 414 feet.
You're right.
That wasn't it.
The third base coach for the Yankees should have been standing there in jean shorts and a polo shirt, and they should have been playing this thing at Williamsport.
Drinking out of his coffee cup. We all know what's in the cup, sir. Come on.
No, not there. No, when you're doing it at that level, no, they take it too seriously. That's you and me on maybe a Saturday during football. That ain't
like
them.
Well, just the way
you got Kenny Carmen coaching third base this year. That's
why I stand on first.
Just the way Lane was staring at it, it's like, oh, let's be a pop fly. Let's get underneath it. Signal fair catch. This is going to be fine. Home run. And now that's the lead story. I love how that's the lead story. I mean, I know it changes the game, and who knows if we could have got to him if that doesn't happen. But in the end, it's a 6-3 win, and we're acting like that was his big postseason moment. It's like he's been terrible in the postseason. Really, his career, he's been terrible in the postseason. That's it for about last night.
Hey, you ready for this live read? You ready? 3, 2, 1. What will be the first domino to fall with the Browns after this 1-5 start?
Darryl Ryder, could it be?
Darryl Ryder and Andy Baskin talk about it all with their podcast, It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, including post-game episode drops after every game. Subscribe to the podcast now at 923thefan.com, on the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. So who do you blame for all this? Do you blame Cooper himself?
Ooh,
in this trade? Do you blame
Cooper's been terrible
this
year?
Deshaun Watson?
He's been terrible.
Or do you blame the Browns?
They've been terrible.
I mean, ultimately, they're the team.
All of someone else. Andrew Berry?
Okay, so I
do wonder.
You
want to get into Andrew Berry now? I'll get into the Andrew Berry stuff now.
We've got plenty of
time for that. Okay, we do.
I do wonder if it all starts. Sometimes we overthink it, and we forget. We forget players, even multimillionaires, even guys that are going to make over $100 million in their career. We forget that they have emotions too. And we don't think of that. We just look at numbers. We look at analytics. We look at stats. We look at contract numbers. We think about negotiations and how they work. We look at our guardrails. And so when you pull all that together, I understand why Amari Cooper came into the season miserable. So it wasn't a good start to the season. Amari Cooper finished the season last year on cloud 9. And I think he was thinking, look at what I just showed you guys. Like, where's my contract? Let's go. And he did it in a lot nicer way than that. I don't think it was one of those things where he was, you know, behind the scenes potty mouthing all the Browns, their brass, Deshaun Watson. Like, I don't think that was going on. I think he just basically admitted, I'm going to do a hold in. We're not going to make a big deal of it. It wasn't the biggest story in football or anything like that. I don't think it was a huge distraction.
Hey,
he just wanted a contract.
You're giving rationale. I want raw emotion over this because this is an emotional thing right now. They let go of Amari Cooper. He's been sensational in 2 years. He was not sensational to start this year. All right, that's all there. But the first thing I thought of, because I'm a sick-minded individual, was Red when he finally got parole in Shawshank Redemption, because he got out. He gets to go to Buffalo. Which Buffalo can be like Siberia if they're not good, but they'll probably be good, and he's got a good quarterback throwing to him now. So Amari Cooper, he got parole. And here we are all just waiting for it, because this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. And it makes it even worse because I think the gloves have come off with the fan base in Andrew Berry. 4D, 8D, 12D chess, laser eyes, memes, those are done. I understand why they made the move. You had to make that move. He wasn't coming back next year. A team offered a third-round choice. I didn't believe you would ever get a third-round pick for Amari Cooper.
Especially the way he's playing this year.
But this is the deal, is that people were tweeting at me, can they fleece the Bills? They didn't fleece anyone. And you want to know why they didn't fleece anyone? They're 1-5. They're a 1-5 football team that put the expectations out there that they were supposed to go to New Orleans this year. They are 1-5. Their quarterback is a basket case. We couldn't bring back Joe Flacco this year because they knew that the fans would boo him. And I understood the reasoning why, even though I didn't think it would lead to good football. It's part of the reason why they don't want to put Jameis Winston out there, because if you notice his teammates, the basket case, his teammates can't shut up about how great of a leader Jameis Winston is. So you have to deal with that. And now you have all these leaks that we're starting to get about some people not being very thrilled with the quarterback himself, guys who are in uniform. This is just the tipping of the iceberg here. Amari Cooper got out. And I'm thinking, who put all this together? Because you get a third-round pick, that's excellent. What are we going to do with that pick? Are we going to get another undersized wide receiver who can't stay healthy? Are we going to get another fast wide receiver who can't catch the football or won't reach for the football, leading to the interception that led to Baker Mayfield breaking his shoulder, which put this whole chain of events in the first place? Or are we going to take another oversized wide receiver who can't hold on to the football and can't run the right route? What are we going to do with the third with that third round pick? Because now I have to—I really do have to question the person making that decision. Now I have to.
Can I make a prediction?
You're 1-5. What?
It's not going to be Andrew Berry making that pick.
Who's it going to be?
It's not going to matter.
If you say one, oh, it's not going to matter.
It's not going. Everything you're saying, I understand why you're saying it.
Because if you were going to say one name, I was going to walk out of the room and slam the door.
I think right now, as it stands, October 16th, I didn't come into work thinking I was going to say this. I don't think Andrew Berry's going to be making that selection.
You think he's going to pay the fiddler for all this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I think I think this thing is on the verge of what could be a massive shakeup.
Personally, I like Andrew. I'm on the record. I think he's a good person. I can't defend this. I can't defend this. This is indefensible. Help me. If you want to, go right on ahead. There's no more excuses for
this. You know, I was never necessarily in the, hey, every time we talk about Andrew Berry, we have to call him a genius. We have to put the laser eyes.
Unless Sed Tillman goes out there and starts making plays now that Amari Cooper's not here. And it's not just based on him. It's based on all these other factors that are playing into this as well. Lima, I wish I could disagree with you. I can't and I won't. Continue.
I think Andrew Berry, by and large, has been a good GM. But obviously, when you are this many years removed from the rebuild, you've used all your assets. Mm-hmm. I mean, just about every asset. You've been afforded something that every GM in the league would do anything to have, which is the Haslams and their bankroll. Like, they've been able to manage the cap as well as they have because they have more money than all these other owners. And yet, you come back this season, you supposedly one of the top, I don't know, talent-wise, what was everybody saying about the Browns? Even people outside of Cleveland were like, this is top five roster. Some were saying top three roster in the league. And now just seven games in, you're looking at it going, whew, maybe not as talented, maybe a little overpriced, maybe a little older than we were hoping, maybe nowhere near the depth that we were hoping. Mm-hmm. And what did you do? What did you do to fortify things to make sure you have, you know, not just a top offense, how about just an average offense?
We don't really know who's in charge. It's not like they have to come out and talk after every single loss. Boy, it'd be nice, but they don't. We don't know exactly who's accountable again. Again, I got the person who lives in San Diego who, anytime things are good, I see him. Anytime things are bad, he's nowhere to be found. And I don't know what I can hold him accountable for. So I have no idea. Maybe he'll speak at the bye week. It'd be nice. We'll see. I'll hold my breath on that. I can't, you know, these picks, they have not manifested themselves in anything great. You are heavy on a lot of these contracts. We are left to rely on Jack Conklin, who is not a reliable person because of the injuries. Not his fault, but it's true. We're forced to rely on him. DeJuan Jones has been put in a bad position here, who looked like a steal in the fourth round, and now that people can't say anything good about. I think that he's playing through an injury there. And now that you've done this with Amari Cooper, he's the first. He won't be the last. Because I don't think that this is going to get any better. And now that you've opened that up, now it's all out there. These things that I thought that might happen if this were to go south are starting to come to fruition. Now the conversation begins in earnest with everybody else. And you can only march Nick Chubb out there so many times. Like this Sunday, they'll take Nick Chubb out there, and fans will applaud, and they'll cheer, and they'll get excited for Nick. And then they'll kick off, and then what are you going to do? What are they going to do? Go out there and go to 1-6. Is that what they're going to do? Is that what this turns into? Okay, who are you going to trade then? What are you going to move on from then? You're out of moves, guys. That's it. Because everyone you trade, I mean, there's other moves to make. Everyone you trade, nobody trusts you to execute those picks. It's October 16th. The offseason began yesterday, gentlemen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.